بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم. السلام عليكم and welcome back to another episode on the After Maghrib podcast, where we hope by now you are following us and subscribe to our YouTube and all our social media platforms, as well as our Apple and Spotify platforms. Now, today is a special day for us. It's a conversation that resonates with you, in particular being a Shia Muslim, and it's one, inshallah, that we will learn and benefit from. And just like any other podcast we have before, when it comes to those that mean the most to us, and these are the family members of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we will ensure that we will have a conversation surrounding their lives. And this week we're going to focus on Lady Fatima al-Zahra, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah alayhi afdal as-salati wa salam, because we are mourning and remembering and honoring her, because it is the third narration of the Nights of Fatimiyah, the sorrowful Nights of Fatimiyah. And you know, Ahmed, before I begin today's conversation, you know, we've, you know, shall we say, mourned the first narration, the second narration, and now we're approaching the third narration. For many of us, we've been majalis. For many of us, we haven't been to majalis. I really want to ask, since we have a scholar today, and before we get to him today, I do want to mention, why is it important that we have such a conversation on Lady Fatima Zahra sallallahu alayha on a platform that's not in a majlis? What's the difference for this? Because before the podcast, I heard you have a small conversation with our guest, and I thought, you know, it would be nice for you to mention it and bring it up here.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, salamu alaykum, Zayd. And condolences to everyone at home, alhamdulillah ajurakum, on the demise of our Lady of Heaven, Sayyidatun Sa'il al-Alameen, Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayhi alayha. Sayyid Ali, to be honest, this is probably a question which our special guest would be able to answer more eloquently than I would. But just to add, in terms of the perspective from the podcast, I think it's important for us to rekindle our faith institutionally, and to remind, inshallah, ourselves and also the communities that, you know, at the end of the day, majalis is the backbone of our communities. It has been since the first majalis that was given after the Battle of Karbala, 61 after Hijrah. And until this day, the majalis of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam has spread across the world. You now see in every language, in every corner of the globe. And now majalis takes different forms. It could be in person or of course online as well. And I think the role for a podcast like this is to, inshallah, try and connect with people like us, you know, everyday people, community members, mosque visiting youth who are on a journey and yearning, inshallah, to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and the Holy Quran. And the best way to do that is to really understand and to grasp our key events to a full extent. So the best way, inshallah, we can do this is to have an honest conversation. Some people will connect with a majlis and some people prefer to have a conversation. But in all cases, you need people of knowledge. And alhamdulillah, today we have someone who has a wealth of knowledge. The irony is he also shares a name with you, Sayyid. So it's going to be a very difficult podcast for me when I also introduce, alongside Sayyid Ali Radawi, the esteemed scholar Sayyid Ali Radawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyidina.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to both of you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda'a fiha ba'adadi ma ahata bihi al-muk wal'an man adha nabiyika fiha. I offer my condolences, of course, to Imam al-Zaman alayhi salam and all lovers of Lady Fatima for her martyrdom.
Ahsan, Sayyidina, it's lovely to have you in town and thank you very much for joining us. We understand your schedule is very busy while you're here in London, so we're very grateful for your time and the energy you took to be here. Sayyidina, I mean, this is of course a tragic period, and in these days many of us are attending majalis and we're trying to understand more about Sayyidina Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. But where do we kind of begin when understanding such a woman of such great stature?
Listen, I think Fatimiyah plays very important and vital role in Shi'ism, because you can see people go and visit Imam al-Hussein even from other faiths. But you don't see people from other faiths, even other sects, pay attention to Lady Fatima. And we have to ask, why? Why no one is observing Lady Fatima as she deserves? What's happened after the Prophet passed away? What's happened in the Ummah, in the nation of our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, that not only we don't know the status of Lady Fatima, but also we don't know even the place of her grave. So when we go to our narrations and Ahlul Bayt, we see that Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam mentioned that no one can know and comprehend the status of Lady Fatima. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named her Fatima. So all Almighty God's creations cannot reach and understand and comprehend the status of Lady Fatima. For an 18 years old lady who passed away days after the Prophet passed away. And we as Shia believe that she was killed brutally by some hypocrites, so-called some of our Prophet's companions. And of course, this is not that odd to mention, because when you go through Quran and read Quranic verses, you can see too many verses of Allah's book talk about hypocrisy and hypocrites. Mm-hmm. So something is wrong in the nation. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only talks about hypocrisy and hypocrites, but also warns his prophet that humul adu fahdharhum. If you want to see a single enemy that stand in front of you, confront you, you have to find that enemy amongst your nation, not amongst other religion, not even amongst non-believers.
So he's talking within the Ummah.
Exactly. And that makes Fatimiyya very sensitive and very vital to understand. Because I believe, although Shi'ism was existing in the era of the Prophet, all sects narrate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said several times, "Ya Ali, anta wa shi'atuk." Oh Ali, you and your followers. Shi'at means followers. You and your Shia. You and your Shia will come in the day of judgment. You and your Shia will end up in heaven. You and your Shia, this and that. But no one in you up to the martyrdom of Lady Fatima, the Buddha of Shi'ism. And Lady Fatima actually draw the border of Shi'ism. So if you want to be considered Shia, it's not enough for you to go and visit Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, not even to cry for him, not even to curse his enemy. You have to understand Fatimiyya. Otherwise, probably you won't consider it as Shia. So this is how important is Fatimiyya and how we have to pay attention to Lady Fatima. Of course, we won't be able to comprehend her status, but we can understand that what she did was magnificent and vital. And if you want to be considered as Shia in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt, you have to have two major things. On your Sahifat A'mal, your book of deeds, you have to have Anwan Sahifat al-Mu'min Hubbu Ali ibn Abi Talib. Should be written on that you are lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And at the end of your sahifa, you need the signature of Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha. So you need both of that. Otherwise, you're not fully Shia.
Say, let's say I'm not Shia, and I'm hearing this for the first time. What significance is there for me? Not just for this world, but for my akhirah. Because a lot of people, they say, you know, we respect the daughter of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We honor her, we remember her. You know, she died natural death. There was disagreements, there was a dispute. There was fitna, they call it as fitna. But what is it in it for me to find out the truth? Because I genuinely believe, and this is my opinion, that to find out the truth, that means you want to seek the truth, or If you don't want to find out the truth, you just want to go with the crowd. Wherever people say this is what you need to follow, you follow. We call them sheep, so I don't want to say this on the podcast. But how? Why is it important not to be a sheep as a Muslim, as someone who believes in La ilaha illallah, and someone who believes in Muhammad Rasulullah? How is it important to not be a sheep and follow the path of Haqq? Because for me personally, Fatimiyya is Haqq and Batil. There's nothing in between.
Mm. That's correct. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful, says, and actually told Kumail, "An-nasu thalatha, fa'alimun rabbani, wa mutaallimun ala sabili najat, wa hamajun ra'a." As you said, sheep. So, alimun rabbani means a scholar who is connected to heaven. So, who receives knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, those who get taught by the Prophet, and of course, the rest, like as you mentioned, they are ignorant, we can say. Yeah. So we need to know, because it's our right and our duty to know, because it's haqq and batil, it's heaven and hell. Mm-hmm. Should we hate Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, or should we love them? We have to find out. When we go to Quran, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab was the uncle of the Prophet, yet we see that the Quran said that tabbat yada Abu Lahab, Quran cursed Abu Lahab. So it's not about the relationship between the Prophet and any of his family. Rather, it's about how close they are to the Prophet. And this is exactly can be applied on Lady Fatima. It's not because simply that she was the daughter of the Prophet. Mm. No.
It's more than that.
It's much more than that. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Fatima turruhi allati bayna jambay. Fatima is my soul that I carry on in my body. So see how the Prophet said that. Not my soul. No, no. My soul that I have in my body. So Fatima is myself. So the stance of Fatima is the stance of the Prophet. The speech of the Fatima is the speech of the Prophet. The political stance of Lady Fatima is the political stance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Fatima is very important, and Lady Fatima is very important, and for other sect or even other religion. If someone just hears that there is a religion that somebody just came 14 centuries ago and claimed that he's a prophet of God and he has a book that was descended by that God, and in that book we can find traces that mentions actually connect the Holy Quran to other books as well somehow, and other prophets as well. So if someone just receives that very obvious information, he has to go and make a thorough research.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is important. So if someone just hears that there were a dispute between Lady Fatima and the companions of the Prophet, he or she has to go and do a research.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they will be fooling themselves. It's like walking in a desert that you pretty sure that you might, let's say in Australia, because we have too many dangerous snakes, okay? Just walking with barefoot in the desert without knowing what you are stepping upon. Yeah. So it's very dangerous. No, you can't go and sleep in the desert. It's very dangerous. You have to know how to live in the desert. Otherwise, just avoid that and stay safe back in home. Although you can find very deadly even snakes in your backyard, but still you're close to the hospital, you know, to hospitals etc. So you need to do research. You need to know what you are doing, and you need to understand who is Haqq, as you mentioned, and who is Batil, and be with Haqq and falsify Batil.
I think a lot of people say, a lot of people fail to understand that Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra, salamallahi alayha, is the most oppressed female in Islamic history. And from her birth, Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra was Ummu Abiha, and alongside her father, Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at times where, excuse me, at times where the Holy Prophet was in danger, he was being mocked, he was being exiled, Sayyidina Fatima Zahra, despite her young age, 5 years old, 6 years old, was beside him like a rock. And then obviously as she grew older and she saw the passing of her mother, she grew older, she witnessed her father being abused on his deathbed with those who called him delirious on the calamity of the Thursday. She then had to fight for her right as the daughter of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. And of course, she witnessed the mockery that the people made of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. All of this combined with the knowledge of what would happen to her children, Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam. Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra, despite all of this, still stood strong, still at such a young and tender age, managed to fulfill the role of not just a competent mother, but the most complete mother for her children. As well as that, she also stood strong as the example of a woman who would come forth in society and be able to challenge batil, like you said, Sayyid, to the people, regardless of status or regardless of positions that people had at the time. She was not fearful of repercussions. And she understood that her ultimate destiny was to be beside her father. We know, of course, from our hadith that she knew she was to join her father, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is there, for some people, a lack of focus on Fatimiyya in comparison to Muharram and Ashura? For example, Fatimiyya majalis maybe are less important, or excuse me, less well attended. That maybe some people don't give it the precedence and the attention it should deserve.
Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that people cannot understand the status of Lady Fatima and how important she is. And one of the things that we don't know, as I mentioned, is the grave of Lady Fatima. What is the grave of Lady Fatima? When you go to the grave of Imam al-Hussein, the holy mausoleum of Imam al-Hussein, you can touch the grave, you can smell the grave. But when you go to Medina, you don't know where should you go to make a body contact with the grave. It's very important. It's mustahab. It's recommended to, when you go to a grave, to touch the grave. As Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari did when he went and visited holy grave of Imam al-Hussein, he put his hand on the grave and then he shouted three times, Habibi Hussein, Habibi Hussein, Habibi Hussein, and he fainted out. Why? When he touched the grave, it's something. Touching the grave, sitting on the grave, next to the grave, weeping while you are next to the grave of Lady Fatima. Even she is more oppressed than Imam al-Hassan, who doesn't have any haram, who doesn't have any shrine, whose shrine was demolished, okay, by enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Yet we see that Lady Fatima is even more oppressed than her son, Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba, and the rest of her sons, Imam Zayl al-Abidin, Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Baqir. Let me tell you something. I believe other sect should do more research about Lady Fatima. And the problem is why they are not paying attention to Lady Fatima, because their books boycott Lady Fatima. And this is the problem. When you go, for instance, to Sahih al-Bukhari, you see only few narrations of Lady Fatima, but even those few narrations can lead you to haqq. And actually, once a lady from other sect, I had a friend in Melbourne, and he told me that there is a lady, she's been following your some of your speeches, and she has some questions about Shiism, and she'd like to contact you. And she did. It was 1 a.m. During the month of Ramadan, although it was very late, but I told myself, that's okay, I will receive the call, and I did. And she started to talk nonsense, how you can bring evidence from our books, Sunni books, that the azadari that you are doing in as Shia is correct. I said, your approach is totally wrong, and but let me ask you a few questions. Have you seen this narration in your book, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet said, Fatimatun bada'atun minni man adaha faqad adhani. Fatima is part of me. Whoever bothers her is bothering me, and whoever is bothering me is bothering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, yes, I've seen that. And I told her, then, have you seen that the narration and those sahah books, very authentic books, of Sunnis, that historians said that when Lady Fatima passed away, she was angry with some of her enemies. Oh. She said, yes, I've seen that as well. I said, the only step that you have to take is to decide that you, whether you want to be and resurrect with Lady Fatima in the Day of Judgment or with her enemy. Mm-hmm. You can't say that, okay, I love the Sahaba, all Sahaba. When I say Sahaba, of course, some of the Sahaba are excellent. Of course, we love them, all of, but not all Sahaba, not everyone who is called Sahaba we can respect. This is wrong, you know? So whoever is not, is not infallible, we can judge him because he's not infallible. Even if he's close to the, even if he's the relative of the Prophet. For instance, Ibn Abbas.
Yeah.
Ibn Abbas is relative of the Prophet, but we can ask why he said that and why he did that, because he's not infallible. Mm-hmm. So it's not tribunal, actually, laws that we are following. We are following haq. There's something else. So I told her, it's the step, it's the hard decision that you have to make to be either with Lady Fatima or her enemy, with Imam Ali or his enemy. And you can't just simply say that, okay, I love Sahaba and I love Ahlul Bayt alayhum salam. Just imagine the Battle of Jamal.
Yeah.
Just is about to start just now, whether you want to stand with Ali ibn Abi Talib, the brother of the Prophet, Nafsu Rasulullah, so the Prophet himself, or, I don't know, the other party. It's up to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the power to decide, gave you the chance to decide. It's up to you. I cannot decide in your behalf. And then she was convinced. And she said, no, I'd like to be with Fatima al-Zahra. And she became Shia because of Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayhi. So this is very important. And there is a book called لَقَدْ شَيَّعَنِي نَعْمْ بِنُورِ فَاطِمَةِ اهْتَدَيْتِ. I was guided by the light of Fatima. Printed book, other sect scholar who was guided by the light of Lady Fatima. And this is very important.
Is this available in English?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, but it's a very famous book, to be honest. Yeah. Very famous. If you can translate it, Sayyid Ali.
We'll search it. We'll try. And if we do find the translation, we'll add it to the link.
Okay, that's excellent.
The video, inshallah. Okay. Sayyid, I like the point how you mentioned, you know, how you interacted with that sister who accepted the path of tashayyu. And you know, it makes me think, you know, if other schools of sects don't say acknowledge that the attack took place, but certainly there's lots of narrations that point that an attack was about to, or somehow, you know, there was, you know, like
a tension
where we're gonna come to the house and things like this. Now, as a Shia, I have no problem, you know, coming to Fatimiyya Majalis year after year after year. But as a Shia, I also have Shia friends who told me to stay away from Majalis. Because Fatimiyya Majalis can become sectarian, you know, can make you have disagreements with your, let's say, Sunni brothers and sisters when it comes to our shared belief in La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And they say, you know, by us holding these Majalis, we are upsetting them because we are disrespecting those who they revere. Here's my question, Sayyid. I'm not saying let's not hold Majalis, but I'm saying, is there a way where we can disassociate from the killers and those who participated in the attack on the house of Lady Fatima al-Zahra without being disrespectful? The first example I want to bring, which I think a lot of people, and I think this is a misconception that we need to answer here today on this podcast. A lot of people say, when you do la'an on those who killed Lady Fatima al-Zahra sallallahu alayha, we are cursing and we are being disrespectful. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Sayyid. La'an is a dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove his mercy from such an individual. Is there any profanity in this?
Well, listen.
Because we do it with the killers of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We do it with the killers of Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Why is it different with Lady Fatima al-Zahra?
Exactly. But the thing is, of course, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Even if you want to debate them, you have to do it in the best way. بالتي هي أحسن. أحسن means the best way. So we have to look into, of course, if we are sitting with each other, we can talk, and that's something else. But of course, if we want to tell people that come and read and do research about Lady Fatima, we have to do it and say it appropriately. Mm. And that's the thing. So, of course, we have the right to judge people who are not infallible, but as well, we respect people's faith and we respect them for what they believe, but they have to respect us as well.
Yeah.
And we've done these researches, and these researches took us to a conclusion that there was a dispute between Lady Fatima and her enemy. And of course we want to stand with Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha. So if even some followers of Ahlul Bayt, Shia, say that don't attend those majalis, we can tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran that before the Prophet was sent, everyone used to worship idols. Mm-hmm. So can people of Mecca say, and they said that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed the saying in Quran, can they stand up and say, okay, yeah, no, what you did is wrong, because everyone used to prostrate towards idols.
It will be offended.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And now you took my boy off me. You took my daughter. You took my father. You took my wife. Okay, and now they are believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't believe in idols. So what you did is wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in Quran, Surah Al-Bayna, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيهُمُ الْبَيْنَةِ. They were in darkness, and somebody brought the light to them.
Mm.
And some of them recognized the light and accepted the light, and some of them rejected the light. Mm. So bringing the light, is it wrong? Of course not. Yeah. But you have to do it in the right way. So probably I disagree with all of your, saying, but yes, the main thing is correct. You have to attend. And of course, speakers and lecturers have to try the best to apply Ahlul Bayt's teachings in accordance to Quranic teaching. Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana. I was able to tell that lady, listen, you are from other sect, and I don't have the mood to debate with you. It's 1 a.m. already. I'm very tired. I just finished my majalis. I'd like to go to bed, and your question is nonsense. I'm not going to debate with you. But no, I have to tell her, okay, what do you think? It's up to you. Do you have this narration? Have you seen this narration? If you haven't, I will send it to you. And then you can decide. Take your time.
Yeah.
And I didn't force it. This is the what approach. I believe. This is my approach. Just have a think. And then she contacted that man and told him that that's it. Yeah. I believe I'm going to stand powerful with Lady Fatima.
A lot of the times they do, especially in this society. I'm sure it's probably the same in Australia and in other parts of the world. But in the society we live in here, there's a lot of expletives and a lot of antagonism when it comes to other schools, especially hardline Salafis who will attack the Shia based on our opinions and what our aqaid is and what our theology and history says. And of course, the irony is that a lot of the time when those who represent our school of thought respond, we don't come with the same aggression, the same anger sometimes that sometimes certain of those YouTube da'wah scholars will have, for example. Yeah. So we will try and adhere to, I say we, I mean those who represent or represent the school of thought online, will try and speak with more diplomacy, and sometimes it goes far and sometimes it doesn't. But the aggressive da'wah approach tends to have an effect, and it tends to reel people in. You know, those who are on a search for haq and those who are on a search for guidance and what is truthful in history are usually pulled in by certain scholars who are more blunt and more direct, and you know, compared to maybe some of our scholars, or not even our scholars but our youth who are debating online, who are more passive in their approach generally. I want to kind of move on with your permission to a slightly different,
okay, but I don't call that diplomacy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, because diplomacy, when you call it diplomacy, probably people might think that you are trying to manipulate people's mind. Yeah. So it's not, even if they slander us, curse us, we're not going to do the same thing, because Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam taught us.
It's not the etiquette of the Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, exactly. So if someone doesn't share my faith, we'll tell them, inna aw iyyakum la'ala hudan aw fi dhalalin mubin. Either us or you, one of us should be on the right path, the other one should be the other party. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So we don't have any fight, to be honest with anyone. The thing is, we want people to open their eyes. This is the thing. And this is not diplomacy. This is actually our strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to open their eyes. Then they can decide. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to force them. It's up to them. La ikraha fi ad-din. La ikraha fi ad-din. I'm not going to push anyone to accept my faith. And I'm not going to give anyone the right to push me to accept his face as well. So I'm free man and he's free man, but I have the right and obligation to at least tell them what I think is truth.
A narrative.
Yeah, exactly. And their narratives as well. The hadith. This is very obvious that I've left behind thaqalain, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. It's up to you. If you don't want them, good luck.
Yeah.
But you can't judge me, because I've got wisdom. I'm an intellect species, and I have the right to decide for my destiny. You cannot decide on my behalf. It's my right. Yes.
You can come to your own conclusion. You decipher. And like you said, giving, I think especially, mashallah, in your approach, it comes across that you would just want to convey the knowledge to the people, and the truth will speak itself.
Exactly.
You know, if you're searching for the truth, like you said at the beginning, Sayyid, it will find you, and you will find haq. If you, inshallah, if we have the sincere niyyah and our desires to find that. Sayyid, obviously we live in a world at the moment which is heavily politicized, and we're seeing a lot of oppression around the world. We're seeing a genocide taking place in Palestine. And we're seeing the occupation of people who are struggling for basic human rights. In Palestine, for example, it's illegal to collect rainwater, to open your mouth and drink water that falls from the sky, or to water your crops. So oppression to such a degree is not new in Palestine, but it's also certainly not new in human history.
Correct.
Oppression has existed throughout the course of human history. And the key stories and the pinnacles that we see in the lives of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and in particular in the life of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra, is that there should never be a time where oppression should take precedent and be allowed to take place without the voice of someone who's speaking justice. What is the way in which Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam spoke for justice? And in today's day and age, when we see oppression in different forms, in Palestine, in other parts of the world, or even in day-to-day interactions, how do we take from that example from her and apply to our own lives?
Listen, I think what Lady Fatima did wasn't for herself. So she wasn't simply asking for Fedak. I don't think so. I believe that she was asking for Fedak because not only it was her right to have it, but also she didn't want to give tyrants the opportunity to confiscate people's properties and wealth. So she didn't want to be quiet on what they are doing, and she did not even enter the battlefield against some of the companions simply because she was not happy with them. She did that to protect the commander of the faithful, the imam of her era, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. So what she did was she sacrificed herself to protect the imam. She sacrificed her life, okay, to protect people's wealth and etc. And this is exactly what should we do. This should be our strategy. If we see any oppressions around the globe, we have at least to talk. We are not with the killings of innocent people. As simple as that. Is that hard to say? No, of course not. It's not hard. We are not with those who do not give people the right to live in their lands. For instance, if someone wants to invade your house or your let's say your neighbor's house, you have to take an action. You have to try to tell them, at least teach them, call the police, do this. And I can call the police on your behalf. Tell me what you want, okay? So this is what we can learn of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Listen, Imam al-Hussein was killed. Why? Because people of Iraq sought his interference to rescue them from Umayyad. And then he went there and they betrayed him. And he was killed. So he went there to help them. He didn't have any problem in Medina. He was there. And then, let's say, at least he didn't have any problem in Mecca. Because he moved from Medina to Mecca. Yazid wanted Imam al-Hussein to pay allegiance. Of course, he did not. And he moved to Mecca. And Mecca, you know, it's holy city. It was very hard for Yazid to ignite a fight against Imam al-Hussein or a war in Mecca. I'm not saying that he wouldn't do that. Of course, Yazid would do that as well. But it was easy for Imam al-Hussein to just leave alone the people of Iraq who betrayed his father as well, you know, but he did not do so. And even he told Ibn Abbas and his brother Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah, you are telling me to avoid going to Iraq because you're telling me that some of them betrayed my father, okay? But what should I do with their letters? They are asking for our help, and we are Kahf al-Wara. We are the cave that people can come and seek refuge in our cave, you know? They want us to help them. So that's why Imam al-Hussein sacrificed him. So it wasn't simply that they wanted to protect their rights. No, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لَنَا حَقٌ إِنْ أُعْطِيْنَاهُ وَإِلَّا رَكَبْنَا أَعْجَازَ الْإِبْلِ وَإِنْ طَالَ السُّرَةِ. We have right if people are willing to give us our right, otherwise we're not going to fight for it. They want to govern, let them go. Good luck. It's not about dunya. We hate dunya. We hate dunya. Even when Imam Ali alayhi salam took back the Khilafah, when they elected him, the first election in history, when they elected Imam Ali alayhi salam, people elected Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali did not confiscate back the Fadak. And he said, ما أصنع بفدك وغير فدك. What should I do with Fadak? I don't need Fadak.
It's not about Fadak.
It's not about Fadak.
It wasn't about the land.
Exactly. Yeah. Fadak was symbol.
It's a principle.
Symbolic. Yeah,
principle,
symbolic. Right? Symbol of oppressions and oppressed people and oppressors and tyrants. Yeah.
Because you can argue that, say, the Fatima Zahra's initial stand for Fadak, like you said, Sayyid, was to prevent it happening again in the future, but also to make it known to those who are attempting to confiscate and steal the land that this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to those after me, and no one should allow this to remain acceptable.
Yeah, there's another point as well why Lady Fatima raised the Fadak land as well. I believe that the enemies were aiming Imam Ali alayhi salam. And she wanted to drag away
attention,
their attention from Imam Ali to something else.
Okay.
That's why she talked about Fadak. And she was the most successful oppressed lady in human history who was able to accomplish her mission.
MashaAllah.
And she did. And Imam Ali stayed alive. She did it very wisely.
That's a true partnership, and true love for one another.
It says, and we know, you know, Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullahi alayha, not just with Imam Ali, but even the Rasulullah. I remember as a child growing up, I used to always hear the hadith, for example, Fatima bad'atun minni, man adaha qad adani, you know, rada Fatima rada Allah, things like this. So, you know, Fatima Zahra plays a huge significant, you know, influence on us as Muslims. But, you know, say there is one thing that you started off with this conversation today, and it's something we always do, and we always do the dua and our qunutana praise as well, which is, you know, Rabbi salli ala Fatima wa biha wa ba'alaha wa baniha wa sirr al mustawda'a fiha. That sirr, what is that sirr? What is that secret? I know that there's a secret behind it, but what does it actually mean? What's the meaning behind that?
If we can understand the secret, it's not secret anymore.
Yeah.
Wasar al-Mustadafiyah, probably it's the light of Imam al-Mahdi. Probably. And And I think there is strong a relation between Imam al-Mahdi and Lady Fatima. Both of them did not pay allegiance to any tyrant. And Lady Fatima did not pay allegiance, and Imam al-Mahdi will not pay any allegiance to any tyrant. And that's why Imam al-Mahdi says, "Lib ibnat Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, uswatun hasana." Everyone is waiting and hoping and put his hope in Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, while Imam and wants to follow the footsteps of Imam al-Mahdi, while Imam al-Mahdi says that I am a follower of the daughter. He didn't say even my grandmother, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Li bibnati Rasulillah. Uswatan hasana. And probably the sir is Imam al-Mahdi. Of course, it's a great secret that we cannot understand how he will spread justice. And I believe he will spread justice using justice, because sometimes some people come, revolutionaries come and say that, okay, I want to spread justice and I don't care even if I kill 100,000 innocent people in the way, you know, because what I'm doing is a sacred goal. So I'm going to reach that even with cruel methods. But Imam Mahdi alayhi salam won't do that. He will spread justice with justice. And are we ready for that? I don't think so. We are not still ready to spread justice with justice. The humanity, when I say humanity should be ready, it means that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he comes, he's not a killer machine. Rather, he's a savior. So just assume that he comes while 3 billion people do not believe in him, do not know him, and wants to fight him. You're not going to kill 3 billion people, you know. He's not a killing machine. He represents Almighty God's mercy. So yes, the sir, the secret is something that we don't know, but maybe is Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, was sir al-Mustawda'if. Yeah, because we are talking about personalities. Yeah. The Prophet, Imam Ali alayhi salam, al-Hasanayn, and the sir. What is the secret? So maybe he's somebody. Maybe. That's a possibility. That this secret is somebody, and that is no one but Imam al-Mahdi.
Inshallah, we pray and we hope, and inshallah we live to see the return, the joyous return. Like you said, he's not a killing machine. Yeah, inshallah, exactly. It's a joyous return.
Exactly.
And we'll benefit from his reappearance, bi-idhnillah. Sayyid, you know, being Fatima, you know, we spoke a bit about some narrations, little misconceptions, you know, what's our narrative, what does like the other side say. But maybe it's the first time someone actually listening to something got to do with Fatima. What is it that actually we believe happened as Shia to Lady Fatima Zahra? What led, not the incident itself, but what led to the stage where we can say, you know, something happened and this is where we should honor her and mourn her and remember her and never forget what happened to Lady Fatima. What are like 2-3 things we can take? And for those for the first time coming across Fatima as a concept, giving a new idea to them, what are they going to learn from this?
Go and read the Sermon of Fadak and you can realize why the home, the house of Lady Fatima was ambushed and why Lady Fatima was killed. Because when you read the Sermon of Fadak, you can understand how frankly she expressed her opinions and how she strongly passed the message, not only to the tyrant, but also to the nation as well.
Yeah.
So, and of course they did not expect Lady Fatima to revolt against them because she was a lady, okay? Who used to be most of her time in her house, okay, praying and helping Imam Ali and raising the kids. And suddenly she went to the mosque of the Prophet and delivered the most significant sermon ever. So I believe when they went to the house of Lady Fatima, they were aiming Lady Fatima and they went there to kill her. Why?
It was a way to silence her?
Exactly. Yeah. They won't tolerate her next sermon and after that and narrations and I don't know, addressing the nations. No way.
So Lady Fatima, what Lady Fatima did, she exposed herself. She made herself a shield to protect Imam Ali. And that's why she delivered that fiery sermon in the Mosque of the Prophet. So she dragged all envies away from Ali towards herself and her baby.
So Tim says, inshallah, we can pray that we are worthy to be called amongst the Shia, Sayyidina Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you more tawfiq, more opportunities to serve the community, both here, inshallah, now and in the future. We'd love to have you again, inshallah, on the podcast. Inshallah. If you'd love to join us again, we'd be honored. And also around the world, inshallah. May Allah inshallah give you more opportunities to continue learning and teaching and passing on your knowledge. Thank you so much, Sayyidina, for being with us. Sayyid as well, thank you as always. Your questions are...
You have to thank the original Sayyid Ali. Scan copy, inshallah. Let's say.
Okay, let me tell you just something. Just go on Instagram, right, Sayyid Ali Radhawi. Everyone will see your photos, not me. So you are the original.
Sayyid Ali,
very
kind. Maybe we'll swap Sayyid Ali for the original Sayyid Ali.
I don't mind going to Australia.
Okay, most welcome.
No one will know, inshallah.
Today was very eye-opening. I really pray and hope that everyone is listening to this. And some questions I asked, it wasn't like maybe because of me. No, it was on behalf of our audience.
Yeah.
There's a reason for these questions, because a lot of people, like, they know the truth, they're seeking the truth, but they don't want to chase it. And inshallah, this is an opportunity for them where inshallah they've been sort of educated towards seeking the path of haq. That's what's important here. And I know I learn a lot. And inshallah, everyone found it beneficial. And
inshallah,
I look forward to having you on after Maghrib.
Inshallah. Stay tuned. As always, we are going to be back next week, but in the next few days leading up to the third narration, Shahadat of Sayyidina Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, please keep us in your du'as. Please remember all of those who are oppressed and all of those who have no one to pray for them at this moment in time. And inshallah, we will be back next week. Leave your comments, your feedback down below. What is the lesson that you take away from the life of Sayyidina Fatima Zahra? Is there a particular statement in the Sermon of Fadak that you really appreciate or is something there that makes you think? And is there something that you want to share with us that maybe we can bring up in our next week's discussion? Let us know, and inshallah, we will see you then. Sayyid Ali and Sayyid Ali, thank you again.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week, everyone. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.